Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Good morning, 905. Walter and I are just talking about vacations. Although, there's nothing to complain about with this weather.
I know. I feel like I'm on a vacation already.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Very Caribbean.
I mean, on Thursday, like a lot of us, didn't you go, oh my goodness, what a difference a week makes? Thursday, we had the record high, and then, what, 6 days earlier, we had ice on the trees.
Yeah, that's Quebec for you, right?
You should put that on a t-shirt. Yeah, that's Quebec for you.
That's Quebec for you. You have one weather on the left side of the curb and another weather on the right. One is passing the snowblower. The other one is grass mower.
Oh, my God. All right. We're going to take one call, and then I'm going to ask you to talk to me a bit about insurance issues for people in the aftermath of this recent power outage and ice storm. But I want to get to John and Pierrefonds. John, good morning. John, hang on. Put him up.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you now, John. How are you?
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm good.
All right.
So first of all, thanks. Thanks to you guys, CJAD, and to Walter and for his teams. You know, a lot of chaos happening over the last little while, and we tend to talk, very quickly in those situations, but it's important to, kind of look back and thank all you guys and your workers. We know they're out there in tough conditions, and they're doing great stuff for us all.
All right. Very good. Thank you, John.
Yeah. So split air conditioning system. I'm in a cottage. And I'm trying to figure out if I can do most of my main floor and part of the upstairs if I install it down or if it has to go up.
Installing down, what do you mean down?
Well, in the lower floor. So basically have the vent coming out the lower floor because I've got a mansard roof and it's not that easy to get the unit through to put the unit on the wall.
Okay, so where do you want to put it?
Well, I was thinking of putting it, I have a west-facing back where all the windows are. I was thinking of putting it in the kitchen, and that would hopefully cool the house enough. But would that be a reasonable kind of approach, or should I have it installed upstairs, or do I need a dual system?
The best thing for you to do, John, is to have at least a two-head or a three-head system. It's a bit more expensive.
Sure. Yeah.
But it will get you where you want to go. Unfortunately, when you have one split, there's always going to be an area in the house that's not going to, the cold air is not going to get to it, or the hot air if you have it with a heat pump. So the minimum I would recommend is a two-head. That's the minimum.
A two-head is a single unit outside, and it just distributes to two different places.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Now you can go up to three and even four. Now they have that capacity, but usually with two heads and you have a system big enough BTUs, you're gonna be fine, especially if it's a smaller house.
Right. And is there a I don't know if you I don't want not looking to endorse anybody, but is there a better provider, service provider? Is that something your company does, or is there a better company to contact for that?
Well, here's the thing. We know that anything Japanese is very reliable. I'm not going to endorse one in particular, but usually that's one thing that if you want to generalize, I could go there. Now, the other thing is we look at the warranty. We will not take anything below 10 years warranty on labor and material, not just on thing. So that also tells you a bit of a story about how confident the manufacturer is with his system, right?
Right.
The other thing is if you're taking it with a heat pump, which I would recommend, because, again, you can most heat pumps now operate until under minus 30. That's what I will see where my threshold is. So look at how much we can use it in cold weather up to what temperature. And look at the warranty. That's the most two important things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess the heat pump feature offsets my electric heating until I have to put in supplemental, right?
Well, I mean, you can. The good thing with this particular system is you could decide when to use it because, don't necessarily need to put it on a thermostat. Just turn it on when you feel that it's the right time to turn it on.
Okay.
And you're in control.
Like a kill-off kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could set it on a thermostat and will kick in whenever it needs, but you don't have to either. So it's really an auxiliary system that you have there in case of, which in a lot of cases, I know a lot of people when they install it, they tend to use it a lot more often.
Yeah, it would make sense. I appreciate the advice and the comments. Thank you so much, guys.
My pleasure, John.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. That opens up a line, 514-790-0800 for the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey from Renovco, of course, answering your calls. We'll get right back to the phone in a second, but just tell me what you wanted to bring up in the aftermath of the power outage recently when it comes to insurance issues and insurance claims.
We have seen, that's what, I really want to touch on this for a bit because we can't, I can't maybe signal it more strongly enough to people that there's more often than not lack of insurance on their basements. You see, insurance companies have adjusted their business too. In a lot of cases, they look at the weather trends and they look at, you know, they have a lot of actuaries and accountants mm-hmm. looking at claims and they study risk and that's what they do. And they adjust their policies in a lot of cases accordingly. So they look at the weather patterns. They see, okay, we're getting a lot of flooded basement because of global warming, because of torrential rains and so on and so forth.
Right.
So they have either shifted to not covering basements whatsoever, which we've seen zero coverage in a lot of policies,
mm-hmm.
or decreasing it to a ridiculous amount, 10,000, 5,000, 15,000.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one case, it's a 2,200 square foot finished basement that had 20,000 coverage. That's not even enough to cover the floors, okay? So, and the subfloors. So that's where, you know, it's a good time right now to review. You know, I know it's after the fact, but if you got lucky this time, it doesn't mean that you're always going to get lucky. Review your policies and look at it. The other word of caution I want to put, in the cases where we have people with no insurance or very little insurance, a lot of homeowners are skimming on what needs to be done, at least to neutralize the problem.
Mm.
Your most important part, don't think of the recon or the reconstruction. Think of getting your basement to be safe, not to aggravate the damage. So we are seeing people that are trying or attempting to save the floor when the floor was floating into 6 inches of water, or not to cut their walls. And a lot of people are now, these people that we've seen in the beginning of the tragedy, or the catastrophe, we are seeing them calling us again to tell us that there's mold in their walls, and there's this, and there's a weird smell, and which is to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have little money, try to use that money to make your basement secure and safe. Because if not, it's going to get worse and it's going to cost you a lot more money.
Mm-hmm. Good advice from Walter. 514-790-0800. Going to go to Anna in Dollard. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks. Okay. How are you?
Good. Come to the phone. Come closer.
I am.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Good.
All right. There you go.
Thank you so much. You saved my life.
I did, or Walter did?
Walter. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, this is Ken, and say hi to Walter. He's with me here.
Hi, Ken. Hi.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Walter.
I brought my cape in today.
Superhero cape. Why? What was the situation, Anna?
Oh, my God. Well, like everybody, I lost power and everything, but my mast fell. It was really weird because I was on the phone with Hydro,
mm-hmm.
and she says, any trees fallen? I said, no, just a few branches. And I sort of look away for a second, and I hear, boom! Really loud, and I turn around and I look, I go, correction, a tree has fallen on the wires, on everything, and something seems to have been ripped from my house, which I later learned was called a mast, which was important to connect me to Hydro. So, and then another boom and another tree. So anyway, my whole yard was littered, and I'm sitting there and I call the insurance company, and I don't know. I might be crazy, but it seems to me in the past when I had a claim, I mean, I understand that services are not what they used to be, but I didn't really get an adjuster talking to me, right? They said, okay, somebody will call you, and I found that weird because usually the adjuster calls you right away. He listens to you, talks through the thing, and sort of reassures you at the same time as to what the procedure is going to be. Because once you know what's going to happen, you get calmer, right? Nothing happened. I finally see a note in my app saying he's going to call 5 to 7 business days after. And since we were with Easter weekend and everything, I said, okay, that's a really long time. So I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. I don't know anyone. So I didn't know what I was supposed to do, what somebody else was supposed to do. And it was freezing in the house. So I was listening to your show. I'm listening to your show, and I listened to Walter, and I listened to his ad, and it said, you know, if you need help, even to contact Hydro or insurance or whatever, you know, let us know. So I said, I'm going to call him up. So I called him up, left him a message, and he called me back on Easter Sunday, like about within 4 hours, and I'm going, you called me back. On Easter Sunday, you're the only person who calls back. I don't remember who I called. It was another person I called, and they said, well, it is a holiday weekend. And I'm going, okay, bye. But no, Walter calls back. And I said, I'm so surprised. And he said, well, you left me a message and sound like you need help. So I called you.
You know what they say, Anna? Dedication doesn't punch a time clock.
Oh, I am so grateful. I tell you, I was like, I was really down, you know, and just having someone call you back and say, yes, I hear you. And,
well, that's nice to hear, isn't it? Well,
oh, my God. It just brought me right back up again. Well, and,
Anna, you want to jump in, Walter, or are you just...
Anna, thank you for this. I really appreciate it. I know in her case, she had, we had to go through triage of messages, to be honest with you, because we were overloaded with calls, but we were actually looking at the people that looked like they needed the most help, and Anna, one of these people, that's why I called her, and we had to send an electrician to put her back on the grid because she was like literally off the grid. She had no way of connecting to the outside, and then she had trees all over. So I referred her also tree cutting people. I spoke to them. I said, go give her the service. And I'm glad that, you know, when she called me back, I was all happy because, you know, she goes, she's back into civilization and like she's
good.
Anna, we have to run because we're up against the clock, but thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Oh, it's been tightened. 923. Walter, before we go to the phone, may I throw a text question at you, please?
Yeah.
Says, good morning. With the recent power outages, what does Walter think about solar generators so people don't have to, use, for example, outdoor cooking equipment and things like this? That's from Ron.
First, I have not seen one yet, so I cannot really say that, myself, I've experienced how good it is and what have you. But the general conception on that would be they're usually more expensive to buy up front, mm-hmm. so the initial investment is higher, and they're slow in charging. So it will take about 100 watts, it'll take about 9 hours to charge. The other thing that is not great with them is that you can't, for example, power a whole house on it like you would in a generator. So it's great for charging laptops, you know, having few appliances run here and there. But if you're using it as, you know, like if we lose power for 6-7 days, and usually after a storm, it's not really all the time sunny. You're really reliant on the sun to get you back charged again. So it's good for maybe for 24 hours or so, but it's not going to be great for long term.
All right, very good. 514-790-0800. Marilyn's on the phone from Rigo. Marilyn.
Good morning.
You're welcome. And yeah, what is your question for Walter?
My question for Walter is, does he do any work in my area or in our area? We are just
in Rigo. In Rigo,
south of Rigo.
Yeah, yeah.
The extension of Saint Angelique,
sure.
Of Saint Lazare.
Okay, that's his.
Oh. Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we have files there. Yeah, sure.
A long time ago, I called you for a friend of mine who lived at the when the flooding was, and you were very helpful. By the way, here are the following, and I've been calling since the 19th of February. I advised the insurance and insurance adjuster. He said, oh, well, just take some photos and send them to us. which is stupid because the snow was right up to your hips, and to take photos then was very impossible. Apart from that, now I'll tell you very quickly the details. We have an old house which is connected to the other part of the house, and to avoid any building up of snow, when we had to repair the roof, we put a metal roof because it's very pointed. Mm-hmm. So we were very happy, and never anything happened. Till all of a sudden, when I came back from work, I drove into the driveway and I say, "Oh, wonderful, the roof is clear." But then I saw that all the snow had come down, but it tore down the eaves trough and whatever goes underneath the roof with it. You know, I don't know what it's called. But anyways, it's hanging down there and it has to be done. And then the other side of the roof too,
mm-hmm.
and a few other things. And but you couldn't do anything anyways because the snow was what, about a meter and a half there, mm-hmm. you know. So we had to wait one way or the other, and this is why I'm calling you now. I wanted to call you during the week, but now I thought it may help somebody else too.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I called and asked for the insurance. Please send somebody out.
Yeah. So let me
Marilyn. Yeah. Walter's going to jump in one second.
Let me just answer you on that. Yeah. So and
thank
that's that's the common thing that we hear often that. Sometimes the insurance companies are being slow to dispatch people and what have you. A word of caution. If you read your policy, which almost nobody does because there's 150 pages of fine print and they make it very small, so, you know. So you need to do what you got to do to protect your home, which is called minimizing the damages. And when you don't as a homeowner, you get what you call aggravation of damage, which you're not covered for. So once you are... Like if you want, once you skip the step of the proof of loss, meaning you documented the loss, you took pictures, you took videos, then you can do whatever you need to do to protect your home. Think of it as you have a broken pipe. You don't wait for the adjuster to come 5 days later and keep the pipe leaking the whole time.
Exactly.
So that what you do is you jump, you call a plumber, you get it done, you take pictures and what have you, and then you do what you gotta do to get back your life, you know, to as much normalcy as possible, if you wish. So you don't necessarily need to wait for everything to be finalized if it's something that stops you from enjoying your home the way you want you need to enjoy it, especially if it's going to create secondary damage. In her case, if she have gutters and the gutters are ripped off from the house, ripped out from the house, and then she's going to have a spring saw and, you know, potentially a lot of water to the foundation and get another damage, that's easily justifiable why it had to be done quickly. Having said that, we are now, we as in Runofco and Walter Assey, we are looking into a product that might be a cutting-edge technology for the weather in Quebec. Mm-hmm. Might be, because we are still studying it, analyzing it, and seeing if it actually works. If it is, if it does, we're going to let everyone know, because it was tested, if you wish, in other similar weather patterns,
right.
And it's doing fantastic there. As a matter of fact, there's one area in the States, that is part of their building code to have that product on the roofs. But
And the purpose of the product would be to...
It's to eliminate, if you wish, ice damming. The word eliminate is important. Not just decrease it, but eliminate it altogether. So I would not say anything more until I've done my own studies and research. But I'm very excited, if you wish.
Oh, good, good. Marilyn, we have to run. Thank you for the phone call.
Could I please ask something?
Oh, no. You know what? I'm going to put you on hold. And Marilyn, do me a favor. Turn your radio down, okay, for when we come back. I'm going to put her on hold because news is standing by. But we'll get right back to the phone calls in just a second here on CJAD 800 and the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
On a beautiful Saturday morning, yes, indeed, Walter Assey from Renovco is here. We hit 11 degrees and climbing to 24 today. Back to the phone. I want to get Conrad on, who's been waiting patiently out in the eastern townships. Where about in the townships, Conrad?
Sandbridge East.
All right, very good. And you want to talk to Walter about tin roof.
Yeah, I have a 30-year-old tin roof screwed on. It needs painting. It's green,
mm-hmm.
and the flashing and the ridge cap seems to have faded right through to, it looks like galvanized. But I could change that, but it's the rest of the tin. I want to change the screws first and then paint it, but I don't know what type of paint to use.
So you could do electrostatic painting, but if you would go to any paint, so like Benjamin Moore, for example, they do have specialized paint for tin roofs, for metal, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the idea with painting the roof is mostly in the preparation. You need to ensure a good cleanup is done before.
Yeah.
So either by using pressure washing, but obviously with as little pressure as possible, not to damage the roof. Make sure that the grime and the pollution and the dust and everything is really cleaned up. So if you need to clean it up with TLC, trisodium phosphate, before, let it dry, and then the application. Either you could do it by spray if you're comfortable with that. Or you can do it by roller. You know, the pros usually do it by spray because for them it's much faster, okay? And it does a nicer finish if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're going to spend more time preparing than painting. Let me put it for you this way. And if you do proper preparation, you should be fine with the paint for a long time.
Yeah, okay.
If you don't, you could buy the best paint on the planet. Trust me, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And okay. I like the fact that you're going to do it yourself if you're comfortable doing it yourself, because you will.
No trouble there.
Yeah, the thing is, a lot of the time when you're hiring a sub, they kind of rush through the preps. I find they don't.
I do it myself.
You do a thorough job, Conrad.
Yeah, I do that myself.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Do we have time for one more question?
Quickly, yeah. Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a tree root crush a BNQ septic pipe? Because I'd like to plant a tree on the south side of my house, but there's the pipe going to my septic tank is right under there.
Oh.
Yeah, I would. Well, it depends on the kind of tree. I'm not a tree expert, but yes, I've seen certain trees cause damage to pipes in general. Yes. I've seen it cause damage to foundations, for that matter. So they're much stronger than you think. And some trees, again, it depends on the type of tree. If you can stay away from that area, I would definitely encourage you to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Conrad, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your day. Thank you for the phone call. Can I give you something from the text line before we get to Helen? Good morning, Walter. My home is 24 years old. I had a heat pump installed a while back. I was satisfied with my hydro bill. An HVAC tech told me to keep the furnace fan on year-round for circulation, and my hydro bill jumped significantly. I asked another HVAC tech, and he said to only put the fan on during the winter. Hope I explained this properly. Walter, your thoughts? That's from William in St. Lazare.
I mean, it's all going to boil down if you do have an air exchanger or not. If you have an air exchanger, then the air exchanger itself is the one that's changing the air up and creating you the fresh air that you need specifically in the winter, right? Because in the summer, you're opening your windows, you're ventilating, even in the spring. So it becomes a question of preference. The fan itself should not be spending that much money, though. So I don't understand the fact that it jumped that much. I would look maybe into another thing. But more often than not, I see people using the fan in the winter and less in the summer. If you have an air exchanger, that becomes really irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because the air exchanger will do the job better than anything else.
Let's go to Helen in Côte-Saint-Luc. Helen, hi.
high.
Helen, did you lose a bit of your power this morning, like a lot of people?
Oh, I got up very late.
Okay.
I don't even know if my light is working. I just found out through the radio.
Okay, you have a water issue on your ceiling, I think, right?
I have two problems. First problem is I live in an apartment, and I was told over the years that there was a bubble ceiling, that they removed it to make it smooth. So I've been living here 13 years, and about a year and a half ago, we found a line with, it looks like a pipe, like a straight right through my living room, dining room, and den, and it had water beads on it, very heavy. Thank God they didn't fall down. After that, bubbles formed on my ceiling, and the chipro kept falling down and falling down. Mm. I keep getting very different, extremely high problem-solving solutions, you know, to, but nothing that seemed to guarantee me that the ceiling is going to be fixed properly. What is the solution to that?
Okay, I'm not a psychic, so I'm going to just try to ask you a few questions before to kind of understand. Now, that ceiling, what's above it? Is it another apartment or another floor?
Another apartment, yes.
Okay, so it's potentially a plumbing leak more than a roof leak, right? Because the apartment above you have no water problems.
No.
Okay. Now,
that was the first time in all these years.
Okay. Now, above that leak, if you go up to the apartment above, or to the floor above, I don't know if it's a home or an apartment, is there a bathroom, a kitchen, any laundry room, any place that could have some plumbing in it?
Well, it's a normal apartment. I'll go up and see.
No, but I mean the position where your leak is right now, the location of your leak, is it above a bathroom?
No,
up there?
It seems to be coming from the balcony where we have our air conditioner, somebody was saying, and it's it's diagonal to right through it was.
Okay, so
right
that,
now it's not coming. It's stopped. I had no problems ever since then.
Yes, so it's probably a blocked air conditioning drain, and that explains the fact that your loss is intermittent. Your water damage is intermittent. If you would have had a plumbing leak, especially if it's a riser leak or a feed plumbing leak, it would be continuous and the ceiling would have eventually fell down because it's constant water. So what you're having is probably a block drain from the AC because that doesn't create a lot of water and it only leaks when the AC is being used. So that will kind of explain that problem. Either that or if it's not that, which very highly likely now that you tell me where the location is and everything, it's very high. We see that often. It's very common.
Mm.
It could be a drain leak from the plumbing and not like a riser leak. So if you do have a plumber coming in to check it out, just kind of guide them through it so they don't charge you money for investigating things that should not be investigated.
Mm. Helen?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear Walter's explanation?
Yes, I heard it's either a blocked drain leak in the air conditioning or in the plumbing.
Yeah, more likely in the air conditioning, though.
I see. And but how? What's the proper way to fix it? If to get them to fix it, and or if they refuse, and is there in the insurance? And their insurance something? Because I've been quoted extremely high prices, but and very low. So
yeah. Well, here's the thing: insurance will pay for the cause for the damage that the cause have caused, but not to repair the cause. So in your case, they will pay for the damaged ceilings, the damaged walls, and possibly the openings that need to be done to get to your air conditioning drain. So all of that will be covered by insurance. What's not going to be covered is the CVC repair technician charge to either reroute the pipe or unblock the pipe, which should be the minimum part of the repair, because most of the repair is going to be the secondary damage that you got because of that blocked pipe and the openings of the walls to get to it. Once you get to the wall, then, you know, it's an easy fix, per se.
Well, we have cement ceilings.
Okay.
In between each floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fine.
So that is, I don't know, it seems to me that to and the, yes, and the pipes are in the ceiling.
That's probably unlikely. Very unlikely to have it in the cement. You would have channels have to be, it wouldn't make sense. If your AC is on your balcony, then it's probably running in a wall somewhere. So wherever your split unit is in this case, that will be the direction of the pipe. It can be higher than it.
Right.
It wouldn't make sense.
Helen, thank you for the call. I hope that was some help. We have to run. It's 9:47. We're coming right back with more with Walter here on the Home Improvement Show in just a second.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. 9:51. Lisa's in the building and ready to come in here at 10:05 to answer your calls on the car show. Bruno has been waiting patiently out in St. Lazare. Hi, Bruno.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm very good. You're on with Walter. What do you have for him?
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate you guys on a great show. My question is, I live in an area where we have a lot of trees, leaves, pine needles, pollen from the poplar trees. Is there any rain gutter system that he would recommend for protection of the gutters?
I mean, there's gutter topper. It is a good system. But here's my issue with guttered guards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the problem is mostly in the winter. Like, they're great for the fall. But the problem in the winter is they encourage and speed up ice damming. So if you have that issue, it might be counterproductive to put it, unless I've seen in certain cases, like yours, where you have a lot of trees. If you have adequate roof lines, then you don't have a problem and you don't have the ice damming issue, then that's great. If you do, then you might have to install them to remove them right before the winter and then install them back in the spring.
I guess that the easiest way is just to have somebody come in and blow out the gutters 2 or 3 times a year, I guess.
Yes. I mean, I'll tell you from my personal experience as well. Like, I had them, I bought a house that had them, and I end up having them, taking them out because, you know, I had, it was too much of a hassle to put them back and what have you. And I did have certain areas with that were a bit more problematic, and it was a chronic thing, which was a faulty design in the roof. But that's the only thing I have against them in problematic roofs.
Okay.
If you don't have that issue, then you know, any system really works.
Hmm.
Okay, yes, we have the ice damming during the wintertime, absolutely, you know, on our roofs. It's just I was looking for a quick solution as opposed to having somebody, you know, come up there on the roof and blow out the leaves every 3 or 4 or 5 months or whatever. But I guess I'm, you know, stuck with that then.
I mean, look, you can have a discussion with that guy. Because, you know, it might end up being cheaper for you to have it done once. So what you do is you ask them for a price to put them and install them every year rather than cleaning them up every year and see which one is the more economical, if you wish.
And the one that you think is the better one is called Gutter Topper?
Gutter Topper.
Yeah, they're here in Montreal or in Quebec also?
Yeah, they have many distributors.
Fantastic.
Bruno.
Thank you very much. Yes?
How long were you out for in St. Lazare?
We were out from Wednesday afternoon at 2 till Saturday, let's say about 8 o'clock we came back.
Yeah, that was a good long run. All right. Now, Bruno, thank you for the call.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye now.
Have a good day.
Joy's in Côte Saint-Luc. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Our problem is that I'm living in the same building as Helen, and by the way, the answer is every building, every ceiling has the same stuff, and they call this sweaty slab. I don't know. But that's the other issue. My issue is we have these huge, huge picture windows, and the heat that comes through in the summer is, like, unbelievable. Even the air conditioning doesn't really seal it. So, and when I moved in, there was somebody who put a type of sealant. The only reason I know is because when I had the window cleaned, there was a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, like, where do you get something like that? It's amazing. I'd like it a little darker.
Yeah,
it's like a car thing.
Yeah, it's not a sealant. It's more like a film that you put on the window. And any vitrerie that is local, and I emphasize the word local, it's way cheaper, will sell that product.
It's like a tint?
It's like a tint. It's like what you do on cars.
That's
okay?
Right. But who's going to install that? They're
the
huge.
Same
We're
guys.
6x8.
Yeah, it's usually glass companies, glass shops.
So I should call a glass company?
Make sure they're closer to you, because somehow, every time we look at geography, it makes a difference in the price.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm Stetco St. Luke. Thank you very much. Thank you and have a great day.
You too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Joy. Walter, people are looking for some help. It says, good morning, Ken and Walter. Can you please talk briefly about emergency sump pumps that are powered by the municipal water system? What are your thoughts on that? We had a very difficult time during the power failure, and we're looking for a solution. That's from Julian Peter.
I don't quite understand what they mean. Mm. Powered by what, sorry?
It says that are powered by the municipal water system.
Okay, so they're talking about water water pumps,
mm-hmm.
okay, that use the gravity of water. The problem with these, they're slow.
They're slow.
Meaning they don't pump out. Like, it's a good secondary pump. If your main pump is working and you have an overflow, it kind of helps. But if you have a big rainfall or a torrential rain, they won't supply quickly enough. So, you know, they do their job, but they don't do their job. So I really don't recommend them. In case of extreme weather, they won't work adequately. And that's where we have most of our problems in extreme weather. So, again, if my advice is anything that is half horsepower and more, up to 1 horsepower, depending on how much you have, how high the water table in your home is. So in this case, again, in big storms, they won't work properly.
All right, there you go, Julie. I hope that was some help. Walter, great hour.
You think?
You think?
You really got your money's worth off me today.
I give it a solid B+. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was another great hour. Thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Walter Ansi from Renovco. Lisa is ready to go here. She's got the car show answering all your calls and questions and texts. So Jimmy G and Master Control sticking around. Jimmy, thank you very much. We'll talk again tomorrow morning as of 6. Enjoy this weather. Enjoy your Saturday.